Asian t-shirts, stupid bloody Tuesday, man. You've been a naughty boy, you let your face grow. This is HDN. This is the Halifax Daily News, Tuesday, September the 16th.
Oh, WestJet.
Why, what's up with WestJet?
Well, they have announced that they are going to start charging $25 for the first bag checked in on flights within Canada and the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Kicks in after flights after October 29th. $25. And they say, because of course you got to spin it in a positive light,
mm-hmm.
this is an enhanced experience for their economy class customers.
Right.
Because now they only pay for the services that they use.
Okay, so does that mean if you just have carry-on and you go there and you don't have any luggage, the ticket will be cheaper now?
I don't think the ticket will be cheaper. It just means you won't be paying the $25. I have a feeling if you're paying $3.95 for a flight to Toronto, you're still going to pay $3.95 for that flight to Toronto.
But if you're paying $3.95 for a flight to Toronto now with that one piece of baggage included, are you going to get a reduced rate once they put this in?
No.
Well, then that's crap.
It is crap. It is bullshit.
Are you sure?
I am positive.
And so it's the same price. Tickets are the same price. They're just now going to tack on another $25 if you want to bring a suitcase on.
That is correct.
Oh, you see, the way they were touting it sounded to me, I thought it was a good idea.
No.
You know, the business travelers that go there, they have their laptop and they have the little carry-on and they don't bother with the luggage.
Oh.
I'm thinking, okay, you know what? That's good. Those guys should get a bit of a discount.
No, those people bother me when I have to stand behind them getting on the plane and it takes them half an hour to get their friggin' bags into the bin, and then it doesn't fit in the bin, so they got to put it in the bin that's above my head where my suitcase is. Like, it's, I don't know.
But you prefer waiting at the carousel for your luggage to come through?
I would prefer to check my duffel bag, just let it go through, and
but just... where do you go when you're flying? You go down to Cuba, you go down to Jamaica, you're going somewhere, you're going on a vacation. What if traveling was part of your job and you had to go from Halifax to Toronto, say 2-3 times a week,
mm-hmm.
and you had to get on that plane and get off the plane and then you're back on another plane coming back here like that night?
Well, then I would absolutely do carry-on. If it's just a one-night...
Of course.
If it's just a one-night stand, I'm not going to romance my suitcase.
Boy. Well, exactly. And I think that that's what WestJet is catering to. I think a lot of people, especially people going in and out of Toronto, everything they need, they have on their carry-on.
No, see, that's not what
I've done that before. You just go on the plane and then you get off the plane. It's beautiful. Well, it's just like when you have a connection somewhere where they put your luggage on a plane. And later, of course, you find out that it was on the wrong plane and you don't see your luggage for a week to 10 days.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah. But that little connection that you have where you just kind of get off
mm-hmm.
and you've got your carry-on and that's all you have.
Yep.
That's wonderful. And people love that.
It's freeing. Yes, absolutely.
So I think people should be able to do that and get a $25 discount by not bringing luggage on board.
Now that I would agree with.
Yeah.
I'm just disappointed that WestJet is the first out of the gate with this. I'm surprised that Air Canada hasn't done it first, but you know as sure as shit that WestJet, now that they have done it, Air Canada is probably going to announce the exact same thing next week.
Well, you know what? It's exactly like the meals. They used to serve, do you remember when you get on a plane and they'd serve you a hot meal, and in the mornings there'd be eggs and coffee and bacon and this whole, and that was all part of your ticket.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
to reduce costs, they said, you know what, we're not going to serve meals anymore. You can bring your own if you want, or you can have our lovely tasty wraps that we'll sell you for $20,000 each.
Yeah.
Wasn't that supposed to bring the price of the ticket down? It didn't, did it?
Yeah, no.
So they're cutting out services and we're not seeing a difference in the price of the tickets.
Yeah. But to go back what you said about, you know, WestJet catering to the business. No, that's what Porter Airlines does. That's Porter's job. They are the commuter airline. I mean,
but you don't think WestJet is trying to compete with, I mean, you can't, not everybody is going for sun and fun and frolicking.
No, but
I mean, I think WestJet is breaking into that very lucrative market, that business class. It's
yes,
not
indeed.
Business class. It's business travelers who travel economy.
And that's fine. But I mean, by the same token, I mean, you've got WestJet Vacations. They've got a whole vacation division that is encouraging and wanting people to come shop with them and book their vacations with them and come fly away to the sun with them. And we're going to charge you $25 extra to take a suitcase.
Is that for every WestJet flight?
Within Canada and
the U.S. Okay, within Canada. So you're not going to be...
Canada and the U.S.
Yeah. So you're not going to be packing your family on board the plane with your water noodles and everything getting ready for the Caribbean.
If you're booking a vacation to Florida with WestJet Vacations, you will be.
Yeah. But, of course, their argument's going to be, well, you know what? Fuel prices are skyrocketing. And because fuel prices are skyrocketing, we don't want to have to charge you, the consumer, more. So we're trying to find ways to save money.
I cannot wait. And I vow that this is going to come to air travel sometime in the next 15 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. That when you get to the airport to check in, you are going to be weighed to see how much you weigh.
And I wish.
If you weigh over a certain amount, you're going to be charged a surcharge, a fuel tax.
I think we should all be weighed, and you pay by the pound. Like those old, do you remember the old salad bar that they used to have at Scotia Square?
That's right.
You'd serve up your salad, they would weigh it, and you'd pay, you know, so you'd know you'd put more lettuce on there.
That's right.
And if you put more lettuce on there and less potato salad, it's not going to cost you as much. And maybe people are going to lose weight. All I know is, have you not found airplanes to be less and less comfortable as time goes on?
Well, and I'm telling you, what was...
Seats are closer and closer together. There were a couple of air rage problems that we had not all that long ago, just last week, because people were tipping their seats back.
God forbid you recline your seat. It's able to do that.
It's able to do that because the seats were originally designed to be a certain distance from the seat behind them. Yeah. Now they're practically in your lap. So if somebody reclines, you could almost like cut yourself in half if your tray happens to be down.
What was the sketches that were making the rounds online? Is it Boeing, I think, that is designing an aircraft that's meant to be a quick, this is for short haul flights of like an hour and a half or
People
less.
People standing?
And it's basically, yeah, they're like bicycle seats and you're sort of in a semi-standing position. It's just using the seat to lean on. I mean, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, trains do it. Why not planes? You're saying, oh, there's the turbulence. There's not that much turbulence on trains. I do understand that. You can't just be hanging on a strap on a plane. What bothers me is when they cram you into those seats. I have big shoulders and they always end up sitting me in the middle. Mm. And it doesn't matter who I'm sitting beside. When my arms just go straight down at my sides, as you know, they're right on top of the rest on both sides.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm unusually fat or anything. It's just the distance between my left arm and my right arm is the exact same distance between the left armrest and the right armrest. So in order for me to sit there and offer up any kind of an armrest to anybody else, I have to actually put my hands right in front of my body and cross them in front of me. And that is not a very comfortable position to be in for 6 to 8 hours.
All I know is that air travel these days, they're asking more and more and giving less and less. Something that is free all day today at David's Tea. If you are a teacher or a daycare worker, they're offering free tea all day, September 16th. Hashtag tea for teachers if you're using this on Twitter. And David's Tea, just a bunch of locations. I know they're all over the malls, and Micmac Mall and one on Spring Garden Road. Mm-hmm. So
let's caffeinate all our teachers to the hilt.
Hey, bit of an update on what's going on with the seahorse. We know more now about what's going on.
Yeah.
Come to find out that the lease for the Argyle Street location of the Seahorse is up. Victor Siprick is being very clear. He is not being forced out of that location.
Yeah.
He just thinks the lease is up. It's time to make a change.
I am going to keep my eye on that building because if the Seahorse turns into part of the Economy Shoe Shop secretly, because think about it, there's a door going down to the Seahorse from the shoe shop.
Right.
So if Victor Siprick is just expanding the shoe shop downstairs.
But he doesn't own that building, so.
He doesn't own it, but if he decides to renew the lease, but renew it in a different way so that they can make the appropriate adjustments so that that can be part of the shoe shop, if that's what he's doing. If this is a big expansion of his already expanding business, and remember the shoe shop started, it was just that one, and now it gets bigger and bigger every year. If he's doing that, that's fine. But don't lay that bullshit on us saying, well, no, we want to save the Seahorse, so we're going to have to move it because the landlords are saying no. And that is crap. If you're going to expand into a heritage bar, I guess you could call it, the first bar after Prohibition. I mean, this thing has some history to it. Fess up.
As Judge Judy likes to say, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep my eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it turns into something completely different, then, you know, fine. But it just seems very strange that, the Economy Shoe Shop is upstairs.
Yeah.
the Seahorse is downstairs and they're, you know, he's not renewing the lease of the Seahorse for some very strange reason. It's not like he's severing ties with this landlord.
Mm-hmm. Well, musicians are in favor of this move. A lot of them saying that the new space underneath the Marquee Club will give them bigger and better performance space. I guess they're going to have the sunken dance floor mm-hmm. in the basement mm-hmm. of the Marquee, just like they've got at the Seahorse.
Yeah.
Victor Siprick says he's taken a lot of the artifacts with him up to Gottingen Street. And, you know, some musicians have said, well, you know what? The Marquee is already very well established. You add the Seahorse into it, and it's almost like having a super bar. So we'll see what happens.
And I don't disagree with that. The old Pub Flamingo changed a few times. They still called it the Pub Flamingo.
Mm, but the Pub Flamingo wasn't around since 1948 and was the first bar after Prohibition.
And I agree. It's one thing to change the name of a place and move it around a few times, but when you have a landmark...
Interesting. Halifax Retails, he put it best when he tweeted... Can't put the 78th Highlanders on Geezer's Hill at the Transmission Towers in Fairview and call it the Citadel. Same goes for the Seahorse.
Mm.
Good point.
Yeah.
Listen, if you haven't stumbled across Hallie Fax on Twitter, at Fax Hallie, do it. Because the stuff that they are tweeting out is just historic gold for this city. One of their tweets from today is, yes, it may be pretty, peaceful attraction now, but up until the mid-1800s, the Navy hung pirates at Point Pleasant's Black Rock Beach. So it, just really cool little tidbits of Halifax history. And again, Halifax is the name of their Twitter account. This is an interesting story coming out of Lethbridge, Alberta, that certainly would have some repercussions here in Nova Scotia because we have a very similar policy in our schools. A grade 12 student in Lethbridge was suspended last week for dealing Pepsi out of his locker. His name is Keenan Shaw. He was suspended for 2 days at Winston Churchill High for selling pop to students. It violates a school policy that only permits diet pop on the premises. He was told that the sale violated the nutrition and marketing policies of the school and that he was operating a business without a license. Keenan, for his part, says, are you serious? Do you know what some of the other kids in this school are dealing? He says, I'm not going to name names, but I know a couple of kids that are selling pot. There's kids selling smokes. There was a kid last year selling meth, as well as a kid selling acid. He says he's been told he'll be expelled if the pop sales continue.
So it's okay to sell Coke. You just can't sell Pepsi.
Well, they're sort of getting on to this early, but the 6th annual Halifax Oktoberfest celebration is coming up.
In October, probably.
No, it's coming up this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, believe it or not, we are getting underway this Saturday starting at 11 a.m. This is a one-day event. And it begins at 9 a.m. with the Kinderfest that offers family-friendly games. And the main site will open up under the big blue tent. And it's right in front of Garrison Brewery downtown. At noon, the mayor performs the traditional tapping of the casks, along with senior military officials representing the German community. They're going to have the Oompa bands, all sorts of games, including keg bowling, traditional German pastries, the street beer garden. That's at 7 o'clock, and that's, of course, for 19 years of age and older. The Roving Steins play, and Garrison's cold craft beer going to be served all day long. Hey, for more information, www.hfxoktoberfest.ca. But just look for the blue and white tent in front of Garrison Brewery on Saturday.
You want to talk about Saturday? You know whose band is performing at the Split Crow in Bedford? Tom Bedell's.
Oh!
He's a terrific singer.
I might want to check this out.
Yeah.
This is coming up this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend, Saturday night, The Shakes at the Split Crow in Bedford. And it starts at 9 o'clock. Your chance to see Tommy Bedell from Q104 singing his guts out on stage.
Very cool. And definitely the end of an era on Friday, the official unveiling of the brand new Scotiabank Center at 11 a.m. on Friday morning. They've already taken the old Metro Center sign down, and you can see the Scotiabank Center sign that's already been put up. And they're officially going to have the ribbon cutting and a tour of the new rebranded facility.
Boy, Scotiabank is sure a lot faster at changing signs than Cineplex is, don't you think?
Well, they did take down the sign, I know, in Bears Lake. I saw that, was it last week, maybe a week
just
and
last
a half
week?
Ago?
Yeah, it only took a year. Whereas Scotiabank, they move in there, they have a grand opening, boom, right there, first day. And we're back again tomorrow being Wednesday.
Until then.